All right, well, today we conclude our study in Galatians, and it's kind of a little different tone. I mean, we know that Paul has been not chastising, but getting against the Galatians for their beliefs and the way they worshiped and had gotten caught up in different aspects that they shouldn't be. But he's sort of teaching us today is in the world today, are we hesitant to get involved in a situation that we don't know anything about?
Yes.
And, ma'am?
You have to be careful,
ma'am. Yeah. Is it the right thing to do?
Not always.
But are we quick to take this and send it out? I saw this and talk about it, but we didn't do anything to help the situation or get involved with it. So do we rely on social media a lot for things that strike our interest? But how much of it is maybe expressing our feelings about our love for God? Do we ever do that? Some people do, and some don't. But Paul is teaching them today. I mean, we all know. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. That if being a strong Christian, if you are controlled by the Spirit, you do take seriously the responsibility for your actions. Those that, let's say, walk a little differently, a little lighter in their beliefs, lighter in their faith, they don't care what happens. They do what they want to do. And what picture does that paint to the outside world? Bad. So he starts out in verse 1 telling them, he says, brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaking in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves that you also won't be tempted. So if one of your friends, best friends or church members, if you saw them slacking off, slipping away, how would you approach it with them? If you went with an attitude that I'm upset with you to the point that I'm angry with you, and that's how you come across to them, are they going to listen to you?
No,
no. Mm-hmm. Because like he said, use a gentle spirit. Because last week we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. And in this, it says to restore. This was in verse 22 of chapter 5. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A gentle spirit fits in this category here, because a person with a gentle spirit can maybe see something wrong or maybe see a change in your attitude, and they can come to you and just ask, tell me what's going on. I'm concerned. You know, if there's something I can help you with, please let me know. A lot of times the response you get back, that person may not think they need any help at that time. They don't want to open up their inner feelings and express it to someone. But maybe at least you've planted a little seed that tells them, I'm here for you. If you need me, call me. What Paul is teaching, like we said, if you went to that same person and you told him to sit down, I know something's wrong with you, and if you don't tell me right now, I'm walking away and I'm not ever going to speak to you again. What is that going to do to them? Going to tear it apart. You lost a friend. No. Because also you have to be doing something like that. Paul teaches them you have to put a shield maybe in front of you, so to speak. This person may be involved in something and they open up to you and tell you, but if you're weak in your faith, you might get caught up in that with them, and then you're in the same position that they're in. So you have to, because it says, the writer said, sin can overtake even the strongest believer. It says the restoration of wrongdoers is hard, but it's necessary work for the spiritually mature people. He goes on in verse 2 and tells them, carry one another's burdens. In this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I've had situations, I'm sure everybody's had situations in their lives where maybe something is got a grip on you, it's holding you back, and you just don't want to share it with anybody. You don't want to tell anybody. But people may come to you and talk with you and try to give you reasoning or try to give you guidance and give you advice, and it overloads you to the point to where you push further and further away.
Mm-hmm. I'm ashamed of what's happened to my life, or I'm ashamed of what I did, and I sure don't want to tell somebody where I've dropped to the bottom so bad, you know, and so people just feel like it just festers in me.
Or they might go and spread it.
Exactly, yeah, so, I mean, we're quick to, like I said, I mean, when I tell you what I did wrong, and you started off in a gentle spirit, but then when I open up, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, thinking along those lines, and I mean, today being staff appreciation, but think about pastors as a whole. And think about the times that somebody knocks on their front door or comes by the church to talk to them and shares something horrible going on in their lives, something they've gotten involved in. Who does the pastor have to share that with? Or does he have maybe someone that's an accountability partner, another pastor, let's say, that he could call and talk to him about this situation and get advice from that person to help a church member? But think about if they didn't do that, how does, let's say, a leader keep all of that inside? without it touching them some way or bothering them in a certain manner. Paul tells them, this is from John 13:34, a verse we all should be familiar with. Jesus told his followers, he says, I give you a new command, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. I know we've talked about it in the past. Who did Jesus have to share with? I mean, we've talked. There are times that he went away by himself and talked to his Father. But then also, like Susan said, we have to be careful. We have to, quote, self-examine ourselves. Because if I'm dealing with something, but I come to you and I tell you or present to you that I'm better than you, and I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you, but I'm not teaching myself what's wrong with me, I'm deceiving myself.
It goes back to that verse in the Bible, look at the plank in your own eye.
Right.
Before you judge someone else.
Right. Because verses 3 and 4, it says, for if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. Do we as Christians sometimes not make fun of people suffering, but maybe, well, you know, if you hadn't have done this, you know, you wouldn't be in this situation. Do we compare this person's sin to our sin, or do we just forget about what's going on in our life and just want to finger point at the other person? Because another verse in this, Psalms 139, and this has been a scripture that I've liked for a long, long time, but in verse 23 it says, search me, God, and know my heart, test me, and know my concerns. Because really, we can only take pride in what God is doing in our hearts. We shouldn't take pride in mocking someone or putting down someone that's really struggling, really suffering. Because he tells us in verse 5, the scripture says, if you test your own actions, then you can take pride on yourself without comparison. For each one should carry his own load. Does that tell us we shouldn't try to carry another person's burdens? Or is it telling us, before you can take on some other burdens, you better take care of your own first? Because it's a thing I got thinking about, and this writer kind of brings up. You're with a group of people who, let's say, are going on a hike. And you see a person struggling. Their backpack is too heavy, and you offer to take some of their load away and put it on yours. You're already struggling carrying yours. Is that the right thing to do? If your backpack was lighter, then yes, taking on another person's burdens would equal things out. But why put an extra burden on yourself if you're already struggling with toting your own backpack? It makes you think. Because this writer said that some burdens are too too heavy to be carried alone. Each person has responsibilities that he or she must fulfill. Now, verse 6 teaches us, he says, let the one who has taught the word share all his good things with the teacher. We look at the life, and even with Paul, and in those days, and even pastors today, there are some pastors who are, I'll just not say pastors, but preachers, but maybe evangelists, that they feel like the Lord is calling them to just go. Go and spread the word. Don't worry about anything. I'm going to take care of you. Is it our responsibility to help take care of them? Or sometimes do we look at it, well, this guy came into town and he's coming to our church and all he's doing is he's wanting a handout. Did we ever have that thought or had that thought? But that's the believer's responsibility, is we are to help take care of them. Even like Paul, he was a tent maker, but he did travel and do the word of the Lord. That was his calling. Did he accept any gifts from people? I'm sure people invited him in for a meal, helped him along in his travelings. And I thought this little comment, it says, church members respond with material support for the educators. But it, like in Paul's days, if that hadn't had happened, and even in today's world, if you don't support them, the health of the church will decline. Because what if, in Paul's case, and his teachings and moving around, I just want to hear your word, but leave. I don't have any food to offer you. I don't have anything to offer you to help you get along. Would Paul have become discouraged to the point that I'm wasting my time? Could it be that Paul maybe would his, let's say, health have suffered if he hadn't had proper nourishment to do his work?
But then Paul said, then he showed his strength, though, because while teaching, I'm sure he was assured that he was only taking care of, because he was doing the Lord's work, so he was taken care of. It's just kind of like when they were in the Promised Land, they were all taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because he was doing the Lord's work. He was so strong and he believed so much in what he was doing.
Verses 7 and 8, he says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he shall also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Have you, in your lifetime, have you ever knocked on somebody's door, maybe out canvassing or inviting them to something going on at church, and somebody just turned their nose up to you?
Yeah.
I don't want you here. How'd it make you feel?
Kind of small.
Angry?
Yeah.
Hurt?
Hurt, yeah.
Because when he's talking about reaping, and this writer brings out, they compare it to like a farmer. If you were a farmer, would you make any plans to do what you wanted to do? Or
it's going right now down the farmers and the cotton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They're harvesting their crops. But did they just go out and plant it? Their fields and say, hope for the best? Or did they go out and plant corn seed but expect to grow cotton? No. But is human life sort of like that? Sometimes do we maybe think about or plant a seed, but the outcome is not what we intend it to be?
I mean, we've heard people give testimonies that I never intended to be in this place of my life. I started out being this, and just the things kept, the doors kept closing and closing and closing. And guess what? Here I am today. But you attribute it to the Lord placed you here. He closed all the doors, but then you ended up doing what He had really intended for you to do, which the blessings were so much more than if you had stayed behind the doors.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And people give testimony to that. They talk about how, you know, they have their life all planned out, and lo and behold, the Lord got in the middle of it, and it changed everything.
I mean, the writer, he's talking, he says, like the Galatians, if they didn't listen to Paul all along and they didn't heed to his word, then who is to blame? For like us today, if we come to church and we hear teachings and we hear the preacher bring a message and it strikes something in our mind, but we let it go and we don't act upon it, there's something going on in our life that needs to change, and we don't change it, we suffer, right? I mean, just like you can hit your finger with a hammer and it hurts, but if you hit it hard enough and it needs medical attention and you don't go see about it, what happens? You could lose your finger. Mm-hmm. You still could lose your finger even if you saw medical attention because of the damage. But Paul is trying to teach the Galatians, change your thoughts, change the way you're worshiping. Listen to me. I'm giving you eternal life. I'm helping you along. But eternal life, everlasting life, is the relationship that he's trying to teach those people to listen to him. Do we ever get tired of doing the same old thing?
Yes.
Do you get tired of doing the work for the Lord? Because verse 9.
Sometimes you get impatient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we all know that it doesn't work that way in so many cases.
Because verse 9 says, let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Are we too impatient about the proper time?
Yes.
I want it right now. That's the world we live in today. Everything is instant.
No, I want it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. But like Susan said, and this was a key word, this is, we as Christians, this writer says, we can be disheartened by doubt, lack of support from other believers, and an ever-changing culture. I mean, you think about the world we live in today. Is it the same as it was even 20 years ago? No. We have to be patient. We have to wait upon the Lord. Is it difficult to keep from losing your heart for God by doing good all the time?
And we don't lose our hearts, we get strong.
Your heart gets hardened a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he closes out the last few verses. Verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. This writer brings out, he says, Paul's telling us that sowing involves working for the good of everyone, but it takes effort of everybody. And he says that even includes the scoundrels in your life who disappoint you. Because that person that you think, I just don't have much confidence in them, or they're just not good enough, that scoundrel may have something inside of them that when they finally get it released, it's a blessing to everyone. But they're holding back. Because a question came out, he says, if you look at your life for evidence of serving others in love, what will you find? He says, are you using your resources, both spiritual and material, to benefit other believers and those outside of the faith? I mean, do we ever get caught up, I'm just going to take care of me. I'm not going to worry about anybody else. If you know, if we're having a food, yeah, we're going to take up food for the food pantry and clothes. We're going to take up a special love offering for this or that. No, it's me. I got to take care of myself first. That's not what Paul is teaching us. But verses 14 and 15, this is, and Paul, I think, sums up his whole teachings to the Galatians. He says, but as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord, Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. For both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. Could we say that today about our lives, like Paul is saying to the Galatians here? I look at that and we go back, especially in verse 15, when the Galatians and I, they were taught first, if you didn't become circumcised, you were not saved. And that was untrue. But in the closing, when he talks about either way, circumcision nor non-circumcision, it doesn't mean anything. What really matters in our lives and how we relate to others is we become a new creature for Christ, wanting to share his word and his love like Paul was teaching to the Galatians here. Yes, sometimes we're hesitant to do that, but I think the main part of this is Paul is teaching is, you know, don't be afraid to share the love of Christ. Be open to doing that. Because you never know what seed might be planted in someone's life and how it might change someone. Ms. Lee.
Thank y'all.
Thank y'all.
Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.